We began the review on Sunday morning, so we'll pick up and finish tonight. This will be the last class in the study of the book of Acts. Sunday morning, the Lord willing, Keith will begin teaching on the United Kingdom here in the auditorium. His material is in the foyer. Also, it's available on the website if you want to download it. Have a digital copy on your computer or your tablet. So that's available as well. So take the time to look over his lesson, read the verses, and be prepared for the study for Sunday morning. Lord being willing. On our review, you see on that first part, know what chapters the following is found in. And again, it'd be great if we knew this by heart and we didn't have to look at our notes. But be that as it may, do the best you can on these. Most of these I think you'll know. So we got down to K, 1K. The church was established in Corinth. What chapter? Chapter 18. Now, in chapter 18, there's a particular reason we mentioned this, I think, Sunday morning. A point there that we need to remember. Do you remember what it was? What is there about chapter 18 that helps us with chronology?
Anchor point, Galileo.
All right, Galileo proconsul. And remember that's 51, 52. So throughout our lesson tonight, I'll be making some suggestions along that line. So like if I open my Bible to to Acts chapter 18, and so you say, I don't remember exactly when that is. I've got over in the margin on verse 12. I just have a note there written. And I use one color for chronological markings. In my case, I use like a red map pencil. And I got over in the margin 51, 52 A.D. So that's a marker that kind of gives you an anchor point when you're studying 6 months from now. Or you're teaching the class, you've got an anchor point there. And you can go back and look at the chronology notes. I think I put in there how that anchor point was determined. That can be of help to you. That can be of help to you to know that that happened in 51 and 52 and he was there. And then we talked about the collection that was taken up, that's written about in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. So you just read Acts 18, you read 1 Corinthians about the collection, you think, well, maybe that was next year. No, that collection was in 57, 58, so some 6 years later or so. And those kind of things can be helpful. You read about that in Romans, you read about that in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and 2 Corinthians. And so these chronological notes can be helpful to us. Not only in understanding, but in teaching God's Word. All right, then 2 or 3 years in Ephesus. What chapter? 19. Now, where else does Paul refer to those 2 or 3 years in Ephesus? Do you recall? Acts chapter 20. When he was at Miletus and he called those elders to him and studied with them. So when he talks about his time there and he talks about the trials that he went through there, you can go back and read Acts chapter 19 and get some idea of it. You won't have it all, but knowing it's in chapter 19. So addressed to the elders of the Ephesian church at Miletus, we just answered that one. That's chapter 20. Very, very valuable from the standpoint of when people are talking about the work of an elder who's qualified to be an elder. Churches study 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. Need to study Acts 20. He said, I showed you what to do when I was there. And so they're to learn what a shepherd or a bishop, someone who's concerned about people's souls, do. And so Acts chapter 20, verse 17 through 35, tremendous tool in understanding something about the work of a shepherd or an overseer. So that's helpful. The arrest and the events that followed in Jerusalem. What chapters?
15.
No, the 15 is the Jerusalem meeting.
Well, that's what you said, 21st.
No, the arrest Paul's arrest in Jerusalem and the events that followed in Jerusalem. What? 21 and 22. So 21:16, remember he got to Jerusalem and then those events took place and then he was arrested in Jerusalem, or actually rescued from a riotous mob is what it amounted to that was about to kill him. Made his address on the stairs of the barracks. And that's question number... I need to change the order of this. That's P. His defense before the Jewish people. That's chapter 22. Now, in Acts chapter 22, when he made this defense before the Jewish people, what were the circumstances? Do you remember? Did they appoint him a time and a place and say, we'll all gather to hear what you say about this religion you're preaching? Is that the way it worked? That's right. They're about to kill him. And he was rescued by the Roman soldiers. Now, when people are about to kill you for what you're teaching, and you have to be rescued by the police, in this case, the Roman guard, you want to now say, wait, let me preach to these people. Let me talk to them about Christ and see if I can save their souls. Is that the way you feel about it? That's what he did. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. This gives you some insight into this man's soul and heart. And you read this in Acts 22 and see what he did. Now, he wrote Romans before this incident. But here in Acts chapter 10, verse 1, he said, brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them, that's for the Jews, is for their salvation. I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. So when he opened the book of Romans, he said, I'm going to preach about the righteousness of God, not God being a righteous being, but God's plan for making man righteous, which is Christ. So they didn't understand that. So here they're about to kill him. He said, wait, let me talk to these people. And so you see this man's humility, his love, his genuineness in what he's doing. And that's what we have here in chapter 22 as he addresses these people on the stairs. And they listened to him until he mentioned what? The Gentile. God sent me to the Gentile. Then they didn't want to hear anymore. We talked about how prejudice can stand in the way of considering truth. And that's exactly what you had on this particular case. So then we have... In Q, defense before the council. What is that? What chapter? 23. All right. And then, backing up to O, 1-0, confinement in Caesarea. That's chapters 23 through 26. You remember that he made a defense before the council, but some Jews plotted to kill him. And he found out about it through his nephew. His nephew alerted the Roman guard. Roman guard got him out of there and brought him to Caesarea. And so at the end of chapter 23, they had come to Caesarea. So chapter 23 through 26, he's in Caesarea. And he's there about 2 years. All right. So and when he gets to Caesarea, R here, defense before Felix, what chapter? 24, defense before Festus, 25. Now, the defense before Festus in 25. Look at 24:27. Why is that a verse that to mark or note, remember? 24:27. Do you remember?
Time marker.
It's another place, your margin, like in mine. You can put a note outside. I forget some of these things, so I put myself a note right out margin there by 27. What was that date? 60 A.D. That's right, A.D. 60. So if you put your little note out in the margin, most Bibles have room enough for some kind of little note. And if you put it in one color, like a red marker or something like that, you don't want to use a marker to bleed through the page, but like a matte pencil is really good. There's then special markers, but then that will be helpful to you when you read the book of Acts. And so that's one of our time markers. Okay, and then in chapter 26, who did he make a defense before? Agrippa. And what is there in this chapter that's we remember this defense for? Do you recall? There's one thing in this defense that we usually think about. What? Somebody? Yes. Look at chapter 26 and look at verse 28. We have a song in our book based on this right here. He said, in a short time or almost, you will persuade me to be a Christian. Either it's that way or it's in a short time, you're going to persuade me to be a Christian. I don't know which way he said it, but it's a statement that is interesting. It's interesting because of Paul's response. First, the very fact that here he is again in this defense before King Agrippa. And yes, he maintained his innocence. But Agrippa sees that there's more to his speech than his innocence. He has a purpose in mind to try to persuade Agrippa of the truth of the gospel. Now, he recounted his experience on the road to Damascus in chapter 22 before what kind of people? We just talked about chapter 22. The Jewish people. It's on the stairs of the barracks, remember? Here in chapter 26, before what kind of a man? A man that was familiar with the Jewish religion. In both of those cases, people are familiar with the Jewish religion and familiar with his past. And thus he goes back and talks about how he was a persecutor. Now he's changed. Why? Here's why I changed my mind. Here's why I'm going the direction I'm going. And in those two cases, that's the two places where he recounts his experience on the road to Damascus when he saw the risen Lord. All right, so that's chapter 26. Okay, and so he's in Caesarea for a couple of years. Look at chapter 24, 27. Here's another little time marker. After 2 years had passed. So if this is 60 A.D. and he had only been in Jerusalem a few days, when did he arrive in Jerusalem approximately? 58. So you go back to 21. If you know that he got to Jerusalem in chapter 21 and verse 17, you can put your little note out in the margin. A.D. 58. 58 A.D., approximately. So, and it's early summer because he wanted to be there by Pentecost, as you recall. And so, that's early summer. So you've got a year, you've got a time of the year. And so a full two years had passed here in Caesarea. So that's going to bring you to the summer or early fall of 60. And he has this defense before Festus and Agrippa. And what did he do when he was before Festus that determined his course from there on? He appealed to Caesar. So immediately when a man appealed to Caesar, the present trial proceedings would end and plans would be made for him to go to the emperor. And thus the plan to take him to Rome. That's why in chapter, and here's the answer to the next one, the voyage to Rome is chapter 27. So there's your voyage to Rome. That's how all of that fits together. All right. So look at chapter 28. So they start on this voyage, chapter 27, somewhere around summer of the early fall of 60. So look down at chapter 28 and verse 11. So they went on this journey. There's a big storm. The ship crashed on the island of Malta. And so it was late summer, fall, when they took off on this journey. They're there 3 months, so they're there over the winter months. Right? Now look at 28:11 at the end of 3 months. So after 3 months, they set sail. Again, remember, these ships that go over these large bodies of water with sailing, weather was a factor. And so then when you get to verse 14, what year are you in now? If they stayed there 3 months, what year are you now in? 61. And so you see in verse 14, they got to Rome. So now you know when he got to Rome, 61. So he got to Rome. Now look, and you can write 61. It's about the spring of 61 A.D., somewhere along that area. And so what? Here's the so what. Look at verse 30. How long was he in prison there when Luke quit writing? 2 years. So you might want to put a note out in your margin again, 61 to 63 A.D. So why is that useful to you? That's when he wrote the prison epistles. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. So if you know that he worked in Ephesus, and in chapter 19 of the book of Acts, and you have some idea when that was, and now you know when the letter was written, you know how much time passed between the establishment of the church there and the letter. Same thing at Philippi. You know when he was in Philippi, and now he writes the letter. He didn't go to Colossae, so far as I know, except later, maybe when he got out of prison in between the two imprisonments. And then, of course, there's the case with Philemon. So, anyway, that can be helpful. So you've got now some idea when these prison epistles were written. They weren't written in 30 or 33 A.D. They weren't written in 40 or 50 A.D. They were written 61 to 63 A.D. And here's letters to churches, young churches, maybe some of them 5 to 7 years in the faith, some maybe a little bit more, and talking to these churches about the things they face, the doctrines they face, the problems that they have to deal with. So that's interesting and useful. All right. Let's look at and by the way, everybody knows W, right? The three chapters, we just talked about that. What are the three chapters of Paul's conversion? 9:22 and 26. That's right. So chapter 9, Luke records it. Chapter 22 and 26, Luke records Paul rehearsing it. That's right. Okay. Now let's look at our fill in the blanks here and see how we did on that. This is just a kind of a quick and easy way to kind of get the whole structure of Acts 13 through 28 together in our minds. So let's see how we do on that. Saul was born where? Tarsus of Cilicia. A what? Roman citizen. Religiously, he was of the sect of what? He was of the sect of the Pharisees. Does that mean he agreed with everything the Pharisees believed and taught? Did he believe anything the Pharisees believed and taught? Yes. So they believe in the resurrection. I believe in the resurrection. He said, I'm a Pharisee. Does he mean he subscribed to all their doctrine? No. But that one particular point. And so that played a key part in his defense before the council, because the council, he saw he was not going to get a fair trial. And so, about A.D. what? He was on a journey to Damascus. 33 or 36. We got 3 year difference. Do you remember why the 3 years, we're not sure which one? Because of Galatians 1. We don't know whether to date it from his conversion or his trip to Jerusalem. And so that makes a difference as to whether it's 33 or 36. But anyway, somewhere in that period, he's on a journey to Damascus to persecute Christians there when the Lord appeared to him. 3 days later, he obeyed the gospel. And Why did I put 3 days later? Why did he wait 3 days? I thought Peter was supposed to be baptized immediately.
You have to wait to hear a message.
That's right. The Lord told him, go to Damascus, and there you'll be told what you must do. And so while he's in Damascus, he's rejoicing because he's been saved on the road to Damascus, right?
Yes.
Oh, he's fasting and praying. Yeah, people tell you he was saved on the road to Damascus. When Ananias got there, what did he have to do? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins. So that's it 3 days later. He immediately began preaching the gospel and did so until his death. About what year did he and Barnabas were separated for by the Holy Spirit for this special work recorded in Acts 13? About what year?
45.
About 45. How did you come at 45? Who said 45? Where's the death of Herod recorded? What verse? All right. Turn to Acts 12. That's close enough. You can get toward the end. That's good enough. Look at 23. Immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give the God the glory and is eaten by worms and died. That's Herod's death. That's A.D. 44. So you, again, you can write out in your margin. This is our third anchor point that we talked about. So you got Acts 12, 23, Acts 18, Galileo, and then Acts 24. And from there, you can reason back and forth and get some kind of a chronology based on the data in the book. But be that as it may, that tells you when this journey started. So why do I care when the journey started? Well, let's see why we care. So this is after Herod died. And Paul and Barnabas returned from their mission to Jerusalem carrying the funds that were contributed by the brethren in Antioch, end of chapter 24. And then you have this, the Lord separating them for this work, telling the brethren to separate them for this work. So in chapter 13, verse 4, out in the margin, I just put AD 45, being sent away by the Holy Spirit. So this is the beginning of the first preaching journey, or some people call it first missionary journey. Now, based on other data we have and reasoning backwards, when you get to chapter 15, about what date is Acts chapter 15? Do you recall? 49 or 50. That's right. And so again, at the top of mine, at chapter 15, I put AD 49/50. It gives me an approximate date. Now here's what's interesting. At the end of the first journey, look at verse 28. Of chapter 14. They came back to Antioch where they had went from on the journey, and there they stayed a long time. How long is a long time? 3 months? 6 months? I don't know. But at the longest, how long was this journey? How much time? 5 years at the most? Maybe 3-4 years? You say, so what? Here's the so what. Go back to Acts 14, 23. How long do churches exist before they appoint elders? Sometimes in the United States of America, it's 15, 20 years. Look here. It says, when they appointed elders for them in every church, they went out and preached the gospel, established churches, Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch of Pisidia, came back and established and appointed elders in every church. It's true there was an advantage because in these churches, no doubt, were Jewish men who had already been acquainted with God and the scriptures and a lot of scriptural things, but they needed to know about Christ. But isn't it interesting that within this short time, they're learned enough to serve as leaders among God's people? And that tells you something's askew in our system today. Either there's not enough teaching or people are not devoting themselves to it. Something. When a church doesn't have elders, how does Paul describe that in Titus 1:5? Do you remember? Something is wanting, lacking. And so God's plan is, the church reached the point that they have these leaders. So here now you've got some data on this first journey. It gives you a time frame. And it's so different from what we observe today. tells you we need to look at what our teaching program is, or our devotion to teaching. Of course, these people didn't have sports on television to spend their evening watching and all the kind of stuff that takes people's time today. So maybe they spent some time reading their Bibles and studying their Bibles or whatever. Yes, sir.
I feel the need to caution with those statements, though, because you have one end of the spectrum, and people wait 20, 30 years to appoint elders because they don't have a good teaching program, and you have people who rush into it because that person is well-liked, well-known as a leader.
That's a good warning. We don't want to say, well, they had them so quick, so Joe, you can be an elder. You go to church all the time. Your kids are nice kids. That's a good point that Keith makes. You don't want to put... I tell you what, folks. It's bad when churches don't have elders. But let me tell you, when you got bad elders, you really got a problem. And trying to get them out is a real problem. You may end up having a division. No telling what. So that's a good warning that Keith makes. And I don't want to encourage hastiness without consideration of God's plan. But I see in God's plan it can be done. The problem is we need to work the plan. So that's a good observation. And I'm glad he felt the need to say that. So, all right. All right. So, okay. Look at First Preaching Journey. On this First Preaching Journey, traveled from Antioch of what? Why do you need to know Syria? Because there's two Antioch. There's one, another one where? Pisidia. That's right. So this is the Antioch of Syria. To where? Seleucia. And where he caught a ship sailing to Salamis on the island of Cyprus. There he did what? On the island of Cyprus. Preached the gospel. In the synagogue. And we see it now. He's beginning something that we find is his custom. He goes to a place. If there's a Jewish synagogue, that's where he goes. And that's where he starts his work. Sometimes he don't find a Jewish synagogue. There was one city he went to. He didn't find the Jewish synagogue. So where did he start preaching? Do you have any idea what city I'm talking about? Okay, Athens is true. Philippi. And he did not find a synagogue, so he went and found some women pray where they met for prayer by the river, taught them. Lydia and her household was converted. That's right. So both answers correct. Okay. From there, he went through the whole island to Paphos. That's right. Where who believed? Sergius Paulus believed. And who was struck blind? Elymas was struck blind. Now, what's interesting about this is, are there any other in the 30-something years of early church history in the book of Acts examples where miracles were used for harm to somebody? It's the only one I know of with God's approval. I don't know that Peter struck them dead. It said they died. That I don't know that Peter had anything to do with it. But if he did, that would be a case in point. But he announced it. I mean, he knew it was going to happen, but I don't know what happened. I don't know if they had a heart attack, a stroke, or how God did it. But be that as it may. Okay, so from there he sailed to where? Perga in Pamphylia. Where John Mark, who was with him as an attendant, left them and returned to Jerusalem. He then went to Antioch of Pisidia, where we find the first record of what? Persecution. Now this little question, some people wonder what in the world I was talking about. So on the revision, which I revise as I go through the lessons, I put the verse, chapter 13, verse 50. So this is where he first encountered persecution. Okay, and after preaching there 2 weeks, he was forced to leave town and travel to Iconium. There he stayed a long time preaching the gospel, and the Lord was what? testifying or bearing witness to the word of his grace. Now, in our class on Sunday morning, we talked about this verse. Do you remember what the connection was? That's right. Acts 1, he's commissioning the apostles. He said, you will be my witnesses. Acts 1:8. Acts 28, Paul's in prison. The Jews come to him. What is he doing? Bearing witness. Here between 1 and 28, chapter 14, look what's happening. Bearing witness. When the apostles were commissioned, John 16, Mark records that Jesus told them that these signs would follow them. And then they went out and preached the word and confirmed it by the signs following. Remember that? Mark 16, 20. And so you see what was promised taking place in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts is a record in our introductory remarks regarding the book. It's the acts of the apostles carrying out their mission to witness to the resurrected King Jesus. Now, the Acts of the Apostles title is not on, it wasn't on Luke's account as far as I know. That was put on later. But it's a good title if we understand this explanation. All right. So, because of an attempt to mistreat and stone them, they fled to where? Lystra, where they were first thought to be gods, because why? Killed a man that was lame from birth. But later, Paul was what? Stone. Then a young man, well, who is he? Probably in his teens. Timothy. May have witnessed all of this. So this is Lystra. And why do we say Timothy might have witnessed all of this? In chapter 16, he's in Lystra, and he learned about Timothy. And what did he want to do with Timothy? Take him on his journeys. By this time, he had a reputation among the brethren. So this wasn't the first time Timothy had heard about the gospel, chapter 16. And so it's possible he witnessed this. Now, if this is Timothy's introduction to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the man is taken, treated like a criminal or somebody who's tearing up their religion, stoned and dragged out of the city for dead. What impression might that have made on him? But if Timothy was there and if he either witnessed it or heard about it, there was something Timothy had that would help be a barrier against the wrong impression. Anybody have any idea what I'm talking about? What? Yes. Yes, 2 Timothy 3. From a babe, you've known the sacred writings because of his mother and his grandmother. His daddy may have been in the crowd that stoned Paul. I don't know. But we can help prepare our children for whatever they may face. The threats, the abuses against Christ and his ways, if we can sow that word of God in their hearts. And here's a young man that's a classic example of that very thing. So anyway, so after that, leaving Lystra, he went to where? Derbe and the surrounding region, returning through what three cities? Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. What did he and Barnabas do? Establish elders in every church. These churches, as we say here, could not have been in existence over 5 years at the most. He then returned to Perga, where at this time, what did he do this time that it's not mentioned the first time he was in Perga? Preached the gospel or spoke the word of God. Then he went to Attaliah, from which he sailed back to Antioch of Syria. There he gathered the church together and reported what? All that God had done with him. And how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So church at Humble sometimes have men in to report on their work. You may recall, we've done that over the years. That's what Paul did here at Antioch. He stayed there, 1428, which we referred to a while ago, a long time. So about AD 49 or 50, we go to the Jerusalem meeting. Paul along with who? Barnabas, some brethren, and Titus. And Galatians 2:1, he talks about Titus. And so he had already been debating these fellows. While Paul wasn't against someone being circumcised, when you look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 1, he said, I went up taking Titus. And so verse 3, not even Titus who was with me, though he's a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Now, Paul wasn't against circumcision itself, but when they tried to make it a requisite of being a Christian, that's different. The same is true with the things that brethren today might disagree on. For example, wearing a covering. But if they try to bind that on me, now we've got a problem. See? Various other things like that. And so, not against that. Same thing with, should you have a Christmas tree? Brethren differ about that. And that's a matter of freedom. Each person got to make his judgment. But there's a difference in that and when you make it an essential part of the gospel. And so he refused to have Titus circumcised. And so they went to Jerusalem as a result of some false teachers who came from Antioch teaching the Gentiles had to be circumcised to keep the law of Moses to be saved. Now this next part I've reworded in the revised edition because this was another one that was not clear. Rocky called this to my attention. He first met. Now, when I say first, I meant first in regard to then in the next part of the sentence. So he first met privately with Peter, James, and John. That is, before the meeting that you read about. Look at Acts chapter 15. So Acts 15. And I changed this to reflect the fact that when he arrived in Jerusalem, in verse 4, he was received by the church apostles and elders. But then there's another meeting in verse 6, separate from that one. In between those two, that private meeting. That's another place you can put a little arrow in your Bible or something and put Galatians chapter 2. Because that's when that took place. All right, that'll be helpful to you in remembering that. Then the general assembly of the church was instructed on the matter. What three things were appealed to convince the church? That's right. Statements, examples, and necessary conclusions. And so people say, oh, you can't use that for establishing authority. They did. Great chapter on authority. And as a result, a letter was written clarifying to the brethren in Jerusalem and not sent these men out teaching this doctrine. Beside Paul and Barnabas, Judas and Silas, who were prophets, by the way, were sent to the Jerusalem church to Antioch along with the letter to confirm its message. All right, second journey. I'm going to have to hurry here. Paul suggested to Barnabas they return and visit the brethren where they had preached the gospel. Due to a difference between them over John and Mark, Paul took who? Silas. And began his second preaching tour. This is about when? 50, 51. From Antioch of Syria, he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. That's important. The second preaching journey was to strengthen the churches. Now, he did preach to the lost as well, but it was to strengthen the churches. Well worth noting. After passing through Derbe, they came to Lystra, where they picked up who? Timothy. Okay. And so, if we know about when Acts 14 took place, and now we're in Acts 16, you can see that the time span there is not many, many years. Who became a close and beloved fellow worker with Paul. He was likely about 18 to 20 years old at that time. Passing through the cities, they were delivering the decrees that had been decided upon by the elders and apostles who were in Jerusalem. And the churches, again, it says, were being strengthened in the faith. That was the purpose of that. And they were increasing in number daily, 16, 4, and 5. Passing through Phrygia and Galatia, and having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's involved in the missionary journeys, as we call them, to preach in Asia or Bithynia, they passed by Mysia and came to Troas. And here they saw a vision beckoning them to come over into Macedonia and help them. Is this when he established the church in Troas? No. Answered no. And if you want to, again, make a note in your Bible, look at Acts chapter 20. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 12, he said, when he left Macedonia, he came to Troas, the door was open. And that fits right here. Chapter 20 and verse 1, he went to Macedonia. And he had left Ephesus and he went to Macedonia. He had to go through Troas. And there's where 2 Corinthians 2, 12 and 13 fit. And so that's when he went to Troas. He preached the gospel. Now when you get to 20 and 7, there's a church there. And on the way back through, he stopped and worshiped with them. And really, the purpose was to teach them. He had established the church. He wanted to come back to strengthen them in the faith. Okay, and so, here they saw a vision beckoning them to come over to Macedonia and help them. Who joined the journey at this point? Luke, how do you know?
Pronouns.
And, all right, and so, they sailed to Samothrace, then Neapolis, went to Philippi, recorded the conversion of who? Lydia the jailer. And Paul went to Lydia's house, comforted the brethren, departed, leaving Luke and possibly Timothy. You find him doing this to strengthen the brethren. Passing through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. So they did the same thing, went to the synagogue and preached. Violent opposition, resulting in whose house being assaulted?
Jason.
They went to Berea. And they're noted for their attitude toward the Word of God, leaving Silas and Timothy there. This is what he did, established the church, leave somebody there to teach them. And so Paul and Silas were sent away by night to Berea, where the people are noted for their attitude to the Word of God. Leaving Silas and Timothy there, Paul had to leave due to the opposition from the unbelieving Jews, brethren accompanying Paul by sea to Athens. Well, we're out of time. We didn't get through it all. So you'll have to work the rest. If you have any questions about it, let me know. I'll be glad to send you the teacher's edition. It's got all the answers on it. And hopefully, if you haven't done it by memory, if you go through and write the answers in, it'll be a review for you when you study the book of Acts. So thank you. We've studied the book of Acts now for 6 months. Maybe we'll get something by way of review. I know you already knew a lot about the book of Acts, but maybe it'll be helpful to you in the future in your study of the Word of God and preparing to teach it. Thank you.